It's wonderful, and it's wonderful too. We're thankful for being, ministers here, pastors here for you guys. We may not be the best pastors in the world, but we're your pastors, right? There may be better, and I'm sure there are. In fact, I can name a couple, but we're yours. So, and conversely, there may be better church people too, but I'm not going to go there. That's good. We are, we belong together. It's wonderful. How many of you enjoyed our missionary last month, or last week, Mark Kwong, right? So this service is not being broadcast, so I can say his name. So Mark Kwong. So just so you know, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in ministry. As a pastor, I just don't preach Sunday morning services. I mean, there's a lot more that goes on in my week. My schedule is pretty wild. And so Mark Kwong is a missionary. His plan was to come in and to preach here Sunday morning. He was going to stay. He had a Wednesday night service locally, so he was going to drive down to the conference center and stay there for a couple of nights and then do his Wednesday night service. Then he was flying out Thursday to Texas to a prayer event, and then he was coming back to Springfield, I would assume, or no, to Avoca, which is always like a joy. And so he was flying back into Avoca on Saturday, and he was going to then stay overnight and then rent a car to go to Shamokin, where he's at today. He's in Shamokin this morning. So on his way last week, his car broke down. His engine went 40 miles from town here. And so on Saturday, he called me, and he's like, hey, we had a hotel room for him. And so he got a ride in a tow truck from where he broke down to his hotel. And then we picked him up last Sunday morning to bring him here. And we let him use our second church van because his car was going to be in the garage on Monday. And then hopefully by Monday it would be done. He could drive away. Well, the motor is blown. So he's replacing the motor in his car locally here. So he was here through the week. So Scranton was like the Hotel California kind of a deal. He tried to check out, but so anyhow, he spoke on Wednesday night. I was going to take him to the airport on Thursday, and he ended up, the tow truck did a transfer his car from one garage to another, was real late, and so he ended up Ubering down to the airport, and then flew back in last night. He was supposed to be in yesterday, mid-afternoon. His flight was delayed. Because flying into Avoca is always and so he finally got to his hotel room at 12:30 last night, and then came by this morning, grabbed one of our vans to drive to Shamokin. He's preaching down in Shamokin this morning. Pastor John Ciccioni is preaching down in Benton this morning, and so he's coming back up, and he's going to fly out. And then when his car is done, him and his wife are going to come back and then drive out to Springfield together. So just what an experience. But he really got to enjoy Scranton here. Well, it is the Scranton experience, right? It is. So he got to live our lives for a week. And what a joy it is, right? No place in the world like it. It's tremendous. And I'm thankful to be here. In Mark 5, I want to jump back in where I left off 2 weeks ago and finish out this message for you guys. So this question Jesus asked, why all this commotion and wailing? What a great question. Why all this commotion and wailing? And listen, if you have noticed anything in life over the past, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever the case may be, through that second decade of the 2020s, 2021s, and now as we're in that third decade, it's 2021, almost 2022, the reality is that there is so much commotion in this world. It is just full of commotion. And so there's a lot of wailing that goes on, there's wailing voices that come at us, and then occasionally we join in and we wail as well. And so let's go back to Mark chapter 5, read these verses, and we'll pick this up. And while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the home of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Remember, he had stopped to deal with the woman who touched the hem of his garment. She's healed. And as Jesus deals with her in the crowd, the word comes from Jairus' house. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter's dead. I mean, that's it. It's final. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. And isn't that wonderful? He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him, and he put them out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha koum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. So those words, don't be afraid, just believe. Wow, what a concept. Don't be afraid, just believe. So the reality is there's lots of things in life to fear. There's lots of things to be afraid of. There's no shortage of the commotion of fear in this world we live in. In fact, fear is the number one product, it seems like, in our world. It's what drives media. The fear is what drives people. I mean, it's where we live. We're stuck in this seemingly cycle, you know, circling the bowl of fear in our lives. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Just believe. What a great concept that is, to just believe God. We, you know, at another place, he said to his disciples, he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. You know, I mean, hey, listen, if we really trust God, let's trust Christ. Let's trust Jesus. He is God, you know. There are approximately 365 verses in the scriptures that counsel us not to fear. And the reason why is because fear is widespread. It was widespread back then. It's more widespread even today, you know. And there's all this commotion around us. There's this commotion, and we find ourselves drawn into the commotion of this life and the commotion of this world and the commotion of the drama that surrounds us and that we observe, and sometimes we get sucked into. Maybe we promote it ourselves, whatever the case may be, and we find ourselves in this commotion, and we find ourselves like those people wailing in the midst of it, really not accomplishing anything, just wailing in the midst of the commotion. And so we talked about 2 weeks ago, if you didn't catch that message, go ahead and just go onto our app or our website and watch it, because I outlined 8 different things from this age that we're living in. You know, like Karen said, it's the, you know, it's the age of the lukewarm church. Well, the spirits of this age, and those spirits may be actual spirits, it may be actual, you know, demonic spirits or satanic spirits. Many times it's just the mindset. It's the, you know, the go-to of this world, the mindset of this world. The spirit of this age is negative. It's absolutely negative towards us, you know. And so I'd like you to sort of think about taking in and the things that are inputting into your life today. Maybe it's media. Maybe it's your TV. Maybe you're watching the news, you know. Maybe you're checking your Instagram or your Facebook or social media, and you're getting your news from that sources. Maybe you're getting your news from, you know, television or whatever the case may be. Maybe you get your news from, you know, late night comics, whatever it is. Remember back in the day when the comics were actually funny? Remember them? You know? And so whatever it is, how many of you have ever gotten something? You put something on social media and they put a tag on it. Like the gods of Facebook put a tag on your post. Anybody ever have that happen to them, right? So what I'd like you to sort of do is all the things that are coming into your life, your social media, your media, you know, your television, your networks, all that kind of stuff, you go ahead and just put that tag right on there. Because some of the stuff they're telling you is not true. So stop believing it all. Just don't tie into the commotion of this world. I'm not saying it's all untrue. I'm just saying it's only partly true. And the problem with a half-truth is you don't know which half to believe. Right? And so when you fill yourself with half-truths, it just messes you up. And so there's all this commotion of this world around us. There's this commotion. You know, every month you've got to pay those bills. Right? That's commotion in your life. There are expenses there you have that come up. And I was talking about how I got in my car yesterday morning. I drove to the Pendle School of Ministry, and I taught down there. And so I left my house at about 6:45. As I'm pulling out of my driveway, I noticed that my idiot light is on for the tire pressure. How many of you love your idiot lights, right? So they're called an idiot light for a reason. Right? Because as people ignore gauges, you want a light that flashes in your face that says, check this. Right? And so I look at the tire pressure, and I got on, I looked at the tires, they all look okay. And so I drove to the School of Ministry, I got done there, and I was heading to someplace else last evening, and so I got in the car, the tire pressure light is still on, and drove to the next place, and then Laura and I got into the car, it was like 8:30 at night, I turned the car on, tire pressure light is no longer on. That's so awesome. It's great. It's less commotion in my life. Now this morning, the tire pressure light is on. So there's always stuff yanking at us, isn't there? There's always stuff pulling at us. And those spirits of the age, really, we struggle with them. And I talked about them 2 weeks ago. Let me just list them for you. The spirit of confusion. This is very widespread today. And Leviticus 18 and 20 speaks specifically about sexual perversion. And that spirit is so rampant today, it's caused an entire generation to be confused about their sexuality. You can have an Olympic official say, everybody knows that a transgender woman is a woman. Well, no, everybody doesn't know that. No, we don't know that. And so there's this confusion, and it really comes out against our young people so badly. I mean, seriously, the adults got to clear. They got to straighten up, because it happens to our kids, and our kids deal with the aftermath of the mess that the adults have created. Don't look at a kid who's gender confused and feel badly towards them. Feel badly towards society that pushed that on them. Don't be angry at them. They need our love. All right, a rebellious spirit, a spirit against authority. That's rampant in our world. A crippling spirit. The world always wants to cripple us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. There's a spirit of judgmentalism. That's present in the church a lot. Where people think they're better than other people. And it's terrible. I mean, all of us, apart from Christ, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Remember that. All right? And I've had conversations with some folks who are like, no, I can live a righteous life. Oh, really? Really? I'll tell you what, you stand on that when you stand before Jesus, I'll stand on his righteousness. Even this summer, there was somebody, a super spiritual brother that came to me. You know what they are. They're too spiritual for any church. And he came to me, and I said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And he goes, that's not biblical. All right, well, you read your Bible, brother, and I'll read mine. All right? Slandering spirit. I do call him a brother. He's a brother. He may not call me a brother, but he's a brother. I believe he is. Slandering spirit. Division. Our world is just saturated with this slander about each other. The seducing spirit is not sexual seduction. It's taking the Bible out of context and being taken captive into something. Legalism. That's a seducing spirit. License, being able to do anything, that's a seducing spirit. And so these are things that come against us. A complaining spirit. Remember, the children of Israel complained and died in the wilderness. A gossiping tongue. This is huge and really destroys people. And those are the things that God hates really so much. And then a deceiving or a lying spirit. That's disturbing. That even God is permissible to a lying spirit to go into this world. And there's lying spirits being released all over the world today. And so, how do we disconnect from these things? And so that was 2 weeks ago. How do we disconnect from them? How do we disconnect from the commotion and the wailing in our lives? So we want to turn from the gods of men. We want to turn from the gods of this age. We want to literally stop worshiping them. Stop listening to them. In biblical times, it might have been going and bowing at an idol, at a shrine, but it wasn't just that. There were things attached to it. You didn't just go and just say your 10, Hail Jupiters, when you went to the temple. There was worship involved that you were involved in. There was sacrificing of animals. There was immorality that took place. And so it wasn't just like today we think, well, I don't worship idols. No, you're connected to the idols, the gods of men, and they're inputting into you, and you're listening to them, and you're receiving, you're getting worship from them because you're putting worth upon them. And they're inputting into your life, and they're messing you up. They're destroying you. And so we disconnect from the gods of men. You know, I know it's impossible almost to totally turn off the world. You can't, but we do the best we can to keep our focus, and we set it like flint on Christ, and we go after him. So we turn from the gods of men. We disconnect from the gods of men, the corruption of the ways of this world, and we turn to Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we do, all right? And so in this, we have to, number one, reevaluate your purpose. And so Pastor Heather was talking about that phrase, you know, from the Westminster Catechism. What's the chief end of man? And so when D.L. Moody went to England, when he went to Great Britain, and he was in Scotland, and he spoke at a high school there in Scotland, he said, who knows why you're here on this earth? Every hand went up. Every single hand in that boys' school went up. 1,000 hands go up in the air. Why? Because they all knew the catechism that taught them that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy his presence forever. If you were to ask that question in most churches today, people would be like, I don't know. I mean, why are you here? What is your mission? I mean, your mission is to glorify God. That is your life mission. And how do we glorify God? Well, then you can unpack that. Well, we glorify God by worshiping him, by evangelizing, by serving, by fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters, by doing compassionate acts for those around us. I mean, that's how we glorify God. And then secondly, we're to enjoy his presence. I mean, if you come into a worship service like we have today, and if you're new, you get the card, you get the get out of jail free card. You don't have to enter in, but man, if you've been in the Lord for any length of time and you come into a worship service and they're worshiping the Lord, you begin to enjoy the Lord's presence, don't you? I mean, no matter who's singing or playing, you know, and we got this new equipment, so like we have these monitors that are in our ears now so I can hear myself. It's terrible. I mean, is that what I sound like? Because, like, we need to have a conversation, you know? But we enjoy the presence of God. There's joy in the Lord's presence, right? And so we reevaluate our purpose. Maybe you don't know what your purpose is. Find your purpose in him. It's there, all right? How are you glorifying God? How are you enjoying his presence in your life? Secondly, we resist the devil. These are common things. We resist the devil. The devil is going to come at you. He's going to find whatever it is that will discourage, distract, or deceive you. And he will come at you with that ever so gently or ever so right in your face. And so be smart. Resist him. Don't give in to his ways. Remember, sin is crouching at our doors, every one of us, all right? Thirdly, rebuke the enemy. And that's where we have to rebuke the enemy. And how do we rebuke him? We don't rebuke him by saying, Satan, you're under my feet. What does that even mean? I'm not against you doing that. But we get excited about Jesus rebuked the enemy by using scripture. And so we begin to live out the word of God. I'm not against if you want to. In fact, during worship, feel free to get him under your feet. You know, and that's okay. But okay, listen, rebuking him is more than just saying you're rebuking him. Rebuking him is actually rebuking him. All right? And so let's rebuke the enemy. And then finally, renew your mind. Boy, that's the big part there. Renewing your mind. And your mind is renewed how? What does it say? Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable, holy and acceptable. It's your reasonable act of service to God. And then what? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can prove what's that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Our minds need to be transformed. Our thinking has to change. And so the way that we think naturally is not supernaturally. And so we fill ourselves with the scriptures. We begin to think differently about those things. And I'll talk a little about that before I finish here. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Isn't that wonderful? There's going to be trouble in this world, but Jesus has overcome the world. And so he's there. He is at the finish line. We just have to grab a hold of him. And we can actually bring him with us on the journey. So that even though we're in the midst of the journey, we've got the finish line with us too. It's so great. In John 14, Jesus said to this, he says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And so, again, Jesus doubles down on this whole idea of peace and tranquility in our lives. How? Because he's going to give us the Holy Spirit to enact that peace in our lives. So not only do I renew my mind by filling it with the Word of God, but like Jude says, I build up my most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. And now all of a sudden I can pray in the Spirit, and that supercharges what's going on in my life. So our Baptist brothers and sisters, they understand you fill yourself with the Word of God, it transforms your mind. We understand that to be absolutely true. But the Holy Spirit supercharges the scriptures in our lives. And so we can renew our minds even faster, even greater, to a greater degree because of that. So we choose this day what the world offers or what Christ offers. And what does he offer us? In Romans 14, 17, this is what the kingdom gives us. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking or clothing or what kind of car you drive." You could put the list there. It's not a matter of those things. What is it? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come on, say that with me. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the life of the believer. This is what sets us apart from the world. We walk this world, but we walk it with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so this transforms us. It's an amazing thing. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17 says, "The effect of righteousness will be peace." And so listen, let's just start, before we move on, what does righteousness mean? It means right standing with God. Right standing. In other words, if you were to say, "Hey, how is it like between you and the G-man?" And you would say, "Well, Jesus is just all right with me." Right? But righteousness means you're all right with Jesus. If they were to ask Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, how is it between you and John?" Jesus would say, "Oh, John's all right with me. John is all right. Oh, yeah." You know? That's what righteousness is. And so, like, there are Christians who think we're righteous because of what we do. And if it, and I'm not against righteous living, I'm not against holiness, but the only righteousness that we stand on is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because my righteousness doesn't measure up, right? So that's what it is. So the effect of righteousness then, of understanding that, listen, everything between God and I is okay. Through Jesus Christ, through his blood that was shed, and we'll take the communion in just a moment here. Through his blood that was shed, his body that was broken, through his work, we have right standing with God. And the result of that in our lives is peace. It's peace. You know? It's peace. And then what? The results of righteousness, all right? The effect of righteousness is peace. The result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. Oh, quietness. How many of you need a spot like that? Right? A place of quietness. It may not be external quietness, but it's internal quietness. Quietness and trust. So there's peace, quietness, and trust. That's what God gives us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is peace. excuse me, Romans chapter 15, 13, may the God of hope, one more thing, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So get it. Like, listen, we have hope in this world, in a world where people are grabbing at hope, at every little piece of hope they can get. Like, they get like a fortune cookie size, you know, the little strip of paper, they get a little bit of hope in their life, and they're grabbing onto that with every fiber of their being. And through Christ, we can abound in hope. We have so much hope, it's sick. You know? I mean, people will literally ask you, they'll be like, how can you be so hopeful? Don't you see what's going on in the world? Well, listen, if you're a believer and you think we're going down the crapper hole, you're not reading the same word I'm reading. Because the worst that can happen at this point to us is Maranatha, the Lord comes. And that's not bad. You know? Oh, don't you know that, like, you know, our society is setting up for the end? Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. Listen, I read the story, guys. Haven't you finished it? Finish reading the book. Jesus wins. But don't you know there's so much pollution around the world? Listen, God has a plan. You know? I mean, there's stuff going on all around the world. It's crazy. In the Canary Islands, there's this volcano. It's going up nuts. Does anybody see that? You don't see it because in American news, all they show is like COVID numbers. That's all the news is anymore. You know, there's other things going on in the world. And the Word of God is literally being played out in front of us. These are exciting times to be alive. God is moving powerfully around this world. Jesus is our peace, Ephesians 2:14. He himself is our peace. It's not something you experience. It's a person who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So in Buddhism, you got to fulfill the eightfold path to find peace. In Christianity, it don't matter what path you're on. As long as Jesus is with you, you got peace. Peace isn't a process. Peace is a person. It's Jesus. He gives it to us. In Ephesians, I didn't change it on my things here. But so 2 weeks ago, I told you it's Philippians chapter 4, not Ephesians chapter 4. Anybody notice it? Yeah, that's good. Some of you are paying attention. So it's not Ephesians 4, it's Philippians 4. But you can go ahead and read Ephesians 4 too. It's good. But this is Philippians chapter 4. So this is the formula that God gives us. And so to my brothers and sisters today on this third day of October. I was right. I don't even know what day it is. On this third day of October, listen, this is my wish for you. This is my Christmas wish for you. All right? My grown-up Christmas wish. All right? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And so listen, maybe stuff is going wrong in your life. Rejoice in the Lord. Maybe everything isn't the way it's supposed to be. Rejoice in the Lord. Maybe there's enmity between you and maybe on your way here. You guys had the cage match in the car on the way here. All right? I mean, you guys are throwing it down. Rejoice in the Lord. I mean, make things right, but rejoice in the Lord. All right? And then Paul says it there again. Listen, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again. Oh, wait, again. Let me say it again. Rejoice. I mean, this is the key, folks. So, I mean, come on. Sometimes life just stinks. Sometimes it is unfair. Sometimes it just makes you want to barf, whatever the case may be. Rejoice in the Lord. Find that place that you can go through the, you know, when you're in the midst of, you know, I remember at the conference center the one time, you know, somebody flushed something they shouldn't have flushed down the toilet. And the guy that worked there literally had to climb into the tank at the plant and he had to remove the stuff out of there. Listen, sometimes that's what life feels like. But in the midst of that, find a way to rejoice in the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so let's make sure we stay joyful in the Lord. You know? Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. Boy, this is where the rubber meets the road right off the bat. Because listen, today, there's lots of things to not treat people with gentleness about. You go to a restaurant. The service is terrible. because nobody's working. So the server that you get is slow. And you just want to blast that person. I mean, just bite your lip. Bite your friend's lip if you have to. I mean, stomp on your foot when you're going to say, bleh! Thanks. You know what I'm saying? And let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because it, what does it say? The Lord is near. So when you mistreat your brother or your sister, Jesus is there. And he's watching you. No. I mean, he's not going to slap you in the back of the head. I mean, he's there, and he'll be there to help you. So be gentle with the people around you. Listen, sometimes we mess up with people, you know? I mean, apologize and whatever. I mean, hey, treat people with gentleness. Verse 6, don't be anxious about it. Isn't it great? It doesn't just stop there. Because it'd be like, just throw the Bible up in the air. Don't be anxious about anything. Who can do that? But what do we do? In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's what we do. So listen, you're going to be anxious about stuff, folks. So what you do is, you can't say, well, I shouldn't be anxious, so I just deny that I'm anxious. It really makes me nervous. I mean, you know, you can't do that. So what you do when you're anxious is you actually take those anxieties and you pray about them. And you list them out to God with thanksgiving. Lord, I know you've helped me before. You can help me again. I just can't get my mind off this. And that's what you do. That's what the Bible says to do. And what happens then? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then finally, how do we take the offense on that? We don't just wait and be reactive, but we're proactive so that what we do is, because, I mean, come on, how many of you have trouble turning your minds off? We got some liars in this room. There's folks that did not raise your hands. Come on. Y'all know, sometimes your mind goes down to rabbit holes it shouldn't go down, right? So what do? So listen, you're not defenseless against that. God has given you, what do? You literally, so if, let's say if this tissue box is my anxiety, I mean, this is just, it just freaks me out. I have dreams about this, and it just comes at me in the middle of my dreams. And like, I find myself, when I'm sitting at a red light, I see that tissue box. And it's just like, I mean, look at it. Look how insidious it is. It's just disgusting. And so, when I begin to think about the tissue box, I literally begin to think about the hand sanitizer because it's just so nice. You know, it's just makes me feel so good. You know? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, in The Sound of Music, it was, you know, it was when the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things. And then I won't feel, I mean, there's a level of truth to that, right? I mean, your attitude sets your altitude, right? You know, your attitude puts your latitude in place. And so Paul says it right there. Hey, listen, think about the things that are pure and lovely and good. And wonder, it's not that you... But that really stinks. It's not that you don't ever think about those things that are anxiety producing, because some things you have to. Finances, you got to think about that. Your marriage, you got to think about that. You know, and so think about those things. But man, purpose to think about the good things God has given us. And man, see if your life doesn't change. You know, because God has given us those weapons to fight, supernatural weapons. Our weapons we fight with aren't carnal weapons. They're not earthly weapons. It's not some TED talk or some self-help thing that you can do. It's the Word of God. You live it out, the power of the Word of God begins to come out in your life. It's an amazing thing. And God will be there every step with you to help you. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes as we get ready to receive the Lord's Supper here. If you grabbed your communion on the way in, good. If not, raise your hand up and one of our ushers will get you one. Raise your hand if you did not get one. There's one over here, a couple over here on this side, and one here on the center aisle as well. So as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper, just keep your hand up And someone will get you a communion thing to do. And we got the nicer ones to, they're easier to open, so that won't give you anxiety. That's good. We don't need to produce that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, and we'll pray here at the end as well. You might say, Pastor Dave, you didn't pray over your sermon yet. We will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, and he says, "For I have received from the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, take, eat, this bread is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So the interjection of the peace of Christ right now. I mean, Jesus lives in us by faith, but for opportunity here as we do this, we literally can take Christ and partake of him. And I'm not saying that's what happens to this bread. If you believe that, that's fine. You know, but as an object lesson, we're literally taking something exterior and putting it inside of us. And that's what we do with Christ. We take his yoke upon us. We receive from him in our lives. We place him, interject him into our lives. And that peace that he brings surpasses all human understanding. So this morning, as you take this bread in just a moment, remember, his body was broken for you. Isaiah 53 tells us he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That there's healing power. It doesn't matter if it's a tendon in a foot. It doesn't matter if it's if it's something on your lungs. It doesn't matter if it's a cancerous tumor. It doesn't matter if it's whatever, a hangnail. There's healing through Jesus Christ. There's healing in his atonement for us today, right now. And there's no reason to believe that, to doubt that that Christ can't heal you right where you sit right this moment. No reason whatsoever. And so today, Jesus, we take this bread and we thank you. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you, as an external force, have come into, as a supernatural force, you've come into the natural life of us, and you have interjected yourself. You've given us life, strength, health, and hope. And so, Lord, as we take this bread, we remember you. We thank you for the work you've done, and we thank you that as your body was broken, our bodies can be healed. We receive this today in honor of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake of the bread. Then in the same manner, after supper, he takes the cup. Then he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many." I'm thankful that we are part of the many that his blood was shed for. His blood was shed so that we could have forgiveness of sins, grace given into our lives. The debt we owed on that invoice that Satan held, that debt we owed was paid by the blood of Jesus. Delivered by him. So thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was shed. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the hope of glory we have in us that you are. And so, Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed. We do this today to remember you. We bless you and praise you and thank you. We want to lift up your name this day in our lives. As we receive this cup, we do it thanking you for your sacrifice for us. Lord, help us to live sacrificial lives as well for you. May we give of ourselves even as you have freely given us you. We do this, Lord, to honor you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you stand, raise your hands up. I want to bless you here today. So, Lord, we thank you so much that in a world of commotion, in a world that it seems like there are so many wailing voices, there is a voice of calm in our lives. There is a center in us that we can find you, a place of quietness and trust, of righteousness. So, Lord, would you bless your people with your righteousness now? Would you bless them with your peace? Allow your peace to come upon them in the midst of the tumult of this world, the commotion of this world, the things that are dragging at us, Lord. Lord, we repent. We come before you and we are sorry, Lord, for the times that we have listened to the gods of this world. And we have pledged ourselves to what they say. And we've forgotten that the word of God is primary and is over those things. So, Lord, would you release your word and power in your people's lives so that they can go forward and be victorious over the wailing and the commotion of this world. Lord, let peace, righteousness, and joy flow in your people's lives. For your glory, we pray these things. We honor you, we love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you, folks. Thanks for being here. Have an awesome, awesome week.